As nurses, we have found our way here to nursing for a variety of reasons. Sometimes it's a calling, sometimes it's as a career and a way to do something different or to grow. But either way, we give so much as nurses to our patients, to our organizations where we work, to our family and friends, and anybody who finds out we're a nurse and wants to know about what they should do about their health. But how do we give in a way where we can recharge and get back? Nursing in the community is one way to do that, and I'm so honored to be joined by T.C. Carnes today as we discuss it further. Hi, and welcome to Nurse Essentials, a Cleveland Clinic podcast where we discuss all things nursing, from patient care to advancing your career to navigating tough on-the-job issues. We're so glad you're here. I'm your host, Carol Pahatsky, Associate Chief Nursing Officer of Surgical Services Nursing. Welcome back, everyone. We're glad to have you back. One of my favorite parts about being your host on this podcast journey is getting to know lots of nurses I haven't ever had the pleasure of getting to know, as well as some of the guests I've had on that have been my colleagues and my friends, getting to know them a little bit differently. If you've been listening since the beginning, you know that my journey to nursing took a little while. It took me a little while to figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up and traveled through music therapy and other avenues before I became a nurse and then ultimately a nurse leader. And lots of twists and turns. I'm the kid who said I would never want to be a nurse. And here I am almost 20 years later, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Sometimes amongst my colleagues, and we'll talk about, is nursing a calling or a career? And I think you could argue both, right? It goes both ways. For me, especially because I was so worried about what nursing was like and convinced I couldn't handle blood and guts and all the things I thought nursing was, it was a calling for me ultimately when I got to a point where I realized that professionally something was missing in my life that nursing could provide to me. But we know we have lots of people who come to nursing really seeing it as a great career and a way to further themselves. Well, I'm thrilled to introduce you to T.C. Carnes. T.C. is a Cleveland Clinic nurse at the Lorraine Family Health Center. In talking with him, we've already shared a love of nursing as a calling. And so I'm so glad to have you here with me today, T.C.
Hi, Carol. Thanks. I'm so happy to be here.
So let's get started with your journey to nursing. What got you here?
All right. Well, it's kind of a roundabout sort of trip.
I love roundabouts. Well, not driving. Roundabouts are terrible.
Right. Yes. I did 4 years in the military right out of high school. And then when I got out, my wife and I moved around the country for a couple of years.
Okay.
And when I came back to Ohio, Northeast Ohio, a lot of my friends who I'd grown up with and went in the military with had become firemen.
Okay.
And so they said, hey, we know you. You'll love this job. You got to be a fireman.
Okay.
So I started taking civil service tests all over the area and couldn't get hired.
Wow.
Did really well, tested great, got a lot of interviews. And in talking to them, they said that fire departments are almost always in financial crunches.
Oh, dear.
And that showing them that you're serious by getting one of the two required schoolings, educations, it was a big jump up.
Sure. So they're not having to invest that.
Right. Well, they invest the money and and they pay you while you're going to school.
Oh, okay.
So it's a big financial hit for them.
Huh.
So fire school was full-time days and I couldn't afford to not work. So I took my EMT class at night.
Oh, okay.
And I got put in a hospital for a week.
Okay.
And we're supposed to be hands-off, just watching to see what happens.
Sure.
When the patients come in.
The rest of the story, yeah.
Once the patient comes in on the ambulance, this is the handoff. This is what happens. And the nurse that I got paired up with, she was a little bit older.
Right.
You know, she, no nonsense.
Ah, I see.
And she said, kid, put some gloves on and show me what you got. You're going to be bringing me these patients in a week. So go to work.
Wow.
And for a week, I did what she did.
Okay.
And I absolutely fell in love with it. I said, I don't want to be a fireman anymore. I want to be a nurse.
All right.
So I did. Changed everything in my world at 30 years old to go to school to be a nurse.
All right. Where'd you go to school?
Lorraine County Community College.
Me too.
Yeah.
All right. Go Commodores. I didn't even know they had a mascot till I was done. I think I should introduce that to you, didn't I? Yes. And so tell us about then your nursing career and your journey as a nurse.
Okay. I stayed local. Okay. I started working at Elyria Memorial.
Yeah.
I lived in the neighborhood. I grew up in the neighborhood. The hospital's right there. And I worked for them for 17 years before I came to the Cleveland Clinic.
Okay.
3 years on a really busy floor.
Sure.
Then 14 years in the ER.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
all right.
Lots of
fun. So bringing you back to your EMT roots.
Yes. And I never actually worked as an EMT either.
Oh, right.
So,
yeah.
So the ER, 14 years of that.
Okay.
And I find myself coming to the Cleveland Clinic and finding ambulatory care.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Normal weeks.
Whole different life, side of life. Yeah.
It was incredible.
Okay.
And so I've been with Cleveland Clinic for 5.5 years.
Oh, fantastic.
Love it.
Okay.
Love it. More opportunities here than I had in 17 years at the other place.
Okay. Well, we, you know, we have listeners from all over.
So, no, yeah. Right. But
yes.
For me,
okay,
my own personal experience, mm-hmm. I've had more growth opportunities and more things presented to me to do here than I did there. Okay. Of course, you know, I didn't want to leave the ER either.
Sure.
So that could have been part of the track.
Yeah.
Not a lot of growth there.
So actually we'll go there a little bit. You know, that's a pretty big jump, it seems like, from ER to ambulatory. So what was that transition like for you? What was challenging or what was maybe easy about it too?
I got brought on initially to do telephone triage.
Okay.
Which is really good. It's a good segue.
Sure, you still have that skill set of...
Right.
Yeah.
And it worked out really well.
Okay.
It was a relatively newly acquired building by the Cleveland Clinic.
Yeah.
And it was already established, but mm-hmm. they didn't have anybody doing this. And they needed to for the patient population that was already established with those providers.
So it was a new service line.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it was great.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the telephone all day, every day. And then
totally
like,
different.
And then they're like, hey, you're a nurse. Can you do this too? I sure can. Hey, you're a nurse. Can you help us over here? Absolutely. And then it was not even, hey, you're a nurse. It was, you're not on part of any team. Can you, do you have a minute? Can you do this? Can you do that?
Oh, okay.
And it grew and grew and grew.
Okay.
And I grew with it. And they kept offering me opportunities to learn more and do more. And when they needed a new A&M for Michelle Davis, my manager, I applied for it. And I was chosen.
Fantastic. So, you know, a lot of us are, who are from more of an inpatient setting, thinking about, you know, a nursing unit who is a manager and assistant nurse manager. Talk to us about what it's like to be second in charge, if you will, of a whole entire building and all the departments within it.
Very busy.
Yeah.
I work with a lot of different specialties.
Okay.
And there's no way on God's green earth I will ever learn all that they know. I can't.
Yeah.
You know, if they run into a problem, mm-hmm. I have to, you know, do a quick study, get up to speed on what that problem is or how it addresses the patient care, and then figure out a solution. It's busy all day.
Yeah.
I love it.
You bust your steps on your Fitbit or what have you every day.
I like being challenged.
That's right. So what sort of challenges are you faced with? And, you know, you just said you like that. How does that help you grow?
I like it because when I'm bored, it's bad. It's just bad news. I'd rather be busy than bored. And challenges, you know, make me step outside my comfort zone.
Sure.
Today, for example, mm-hmm. we had an accident in the employee parking lot.
Oh, no. Right. In a building where there are no emergency services.
Right, right.
Yes.
No one was hurt.
Good.
But a couple cars were significantly damaged. Mm-hmm. And security, we've had some replacement security officers. They're okay. Not Cleveland Clinic Police.
Oh, okay.
And they're new mm-hmm. to our location, new to the field, I think. And so they called me and said, hey, can you help?
Right.
So I went to the parking lot and I helped. You know, it's never a dull moment.
Something to be said for being the person that people know they can call.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
And I don't back down.
Clearly. That's fantastic. So I hear that you're very involved in your community. Tell us more about that.
We have an educational company that's, I don't know if they're nationwide mm-hmm. or how regional they are. I think they're pretty big. Ross Medical. Mm-hmm. Not familiar with them?
I don't know. Yeah.
They do a lot with medical assistants. They train and educate medical assistants, test them to get them certified, whatever documentation mm-hmm. they get up to, certifications. Mm-hmm. They just recently started educating LPNs.
Oh, okay.
And we do a lot of preceptorships.
Sure.
So they do their externships and they look for places to be an extern.
Mm-hmm.
And we're happy to have them. Not just from Ross Medical, but, you know, Loring County Community College, a lot of facilities. We're willing to take externs on, mm-hmm. help them get the experience that they need to be successful in a work environment.
Sure.
Ross Medical, after working with us and having a lot of their students with us, they mm-hmm. asked me if I would sit on their board.
Oh, wow. Okay.
To help locally, you know, to help make sure that their students are receiving the education they need to work in our environment.
Fantastic.
And give them some feedback on that. And I've gone to a couple of meetings for those.
Okay.
They asked me to give their commencement speech.
Excellent.
Yes. I try to give back to that. We all had to start someplace. I mean, mm-hmm. I remember when I was a nursing student and didn't know what I was doing and, you know, right. somebody gave me a chance.
Absolutely.
I mean, even before I was a nursing student.
That's
when I was trying to be a fireman.
Sure. You know,
that nurse gave me a chance.
Right. So we all have very busy lives, right? We're, whatever that looks like, we have some listeners who are nursing students who are trying to figure out, like you talked about, can I work while I go to school, et cetera. We have some nurses who are mid-career, and getting involved in the community is outside the working hours typically, right? So how do you make that work? And what advice would you give to somebody who says, well, I work so hard, I'm so tired?
That's a reality. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, and some of us have more physically demanding jobs than others.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean that the jobs that aren't necessarily physically demanding are any less demanding overall.
Of course.
So
sometimes it's brain exhausting right. more than back exhausting.
Yeah. Exactly. I would say be very careful about what you volunteer for.
Mm-hmm.
You know that you have the ability at the time, understand what the requirements are, you know, and make mm-hmm. sure you can do it. Don't overextend yourself. Everybody gets in trouble when you overextend yourself.
It's that fear of I'm going to let somebody down in either case, right? But yeah, it's being really thoughtful about giving in a way that you're honoring yourself as well as the work commitment and this additional commitment.
Right. But nurses, healthcare givers in general, have yep. a hard time saying no.
We
if
sure
you're
do.
Asked to do something,
yes.
the answer that wants to come out is always yes.
Right. So. We're codependent like that.
We are.
So any advice you'd give somebody who's curious about stepping into the board space, the community space, to really, what should they be looking for? How do they find a good fit?
Go as a spectator first.
Oh, there you go.
Don't just volunteer. Ask if you can just come and watch.
Sure.
Ask if you come and see it.
Mm-hmm.
And then pick the brains of the people that are already there.
There you go. And yours is a great example of many examples out there where it doesn't have to be completely different from what you're doing. It's who you're already interacting with. And have they asked you to fill a need or do you see a need? There are ways you can just take one degree of separation away from what you're already doing and be involved in the community instead of at work.
Yes, that's exactly it. You know, it's just an extension of what I already do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not making rockets here.
And what's the time commitment look like?
It wasn't like a huge corporate board.
Sure,
it's more
yeah.
of an educational board just to touch base and see where mm-hmm. you know the educational requirements are. Has anything mm-hmm. changed? Mm-hmm. Do they need more? Do they need less?
Mm-hmm.
3 times a year.
Oh gosh, all right. Yeah.
Evenings after work. I mean, I go and it's not a big deal.
So listeners, let's think about that. It's 3 times a year. That's not a 40-hour-a-week job. And to think about the impact you're making on not just their students, but hopefully future Cleveland Clinic caregivers, if they enjoy their experience so much, now they're working with you and you've had a fingerprint on that.
We've hired a number of our
That's
interns
wonderful.
Or externs.
Yeah.
So
excellent. Very good.
Externship is really a very long interview.
Exactly. So let's linger on that a little bit, because sometimes you can, in theory, give back to your community during the workday when you're precepting students. And we know that while some of you listening are nursing students, we know that there's all sorts of students that come our way. In my world in peri-op, there's surgical techs, but we know all over the place there's medical assistants, there's LPNs, there's rad techs, there's all sorts of ways to enter our spaces, and all those students need guidance. So what do you get out of sort of that initial piece where you were working with the externs? What was different for you? What was hard about that? And what was rewarding about it?
It wasn't really different.
Okay.
I looked at it as more of an extension of myself being a student.
Mm,
you know,
sure.
I mean, if a day goes by, I don't learn something. That's a wasted day.
That's right.
I like to be successful in my own world.
Mm-hmm.
And I like helping other people be successful in theirs.
Sure.
So if these students need to come to us and really get a good grasp on what their job is going to look like once mm-hmm. they get here, I want to provide them every opportunity to understand what that's going to be. And
Absolutely.
Like I said, we've hired a number of our
Yeah.
externs that come to us.
It's working.
So,
and I think some of it is, you know, especially those when we're shepherding, precepting students who are not RNs, part of it too is also learning from them and from their program. What is it you're looking for? How can I help you? Because I can't teach you how to be a nurse. You're not in a nursing program, but really understanding what can I provide for you that makes this a good experience.
Their role is different,
mm-hmm.
but it's in the same world.
Absolutely.
So it takes the LPNs and the MAs on the team to make a whole
team. It takes
team.
A village. Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
So understanding their role and what they do is the first part of what we have to understand to be able to present it well to them.
Absolutely.
We try really hard to pair them up with some of our best MAs.
Sure.
Of course, they're the preceptors on the mm-hmm. ground. They're setting the example.
Yeah,
by everything they do.
Yep. So sometimes and I'll be honest, this was me once upon a time, you know, you precept and you precept and you precept and you precept and you get sick of hearing the sound of your own voice at some point in time. So we may have listeners out there who have found themselves in that space, right? We know that whether it's medical assistants or LPNs or new nurses coming into all of our facilities across the country, not just Cleveland Clinic, right? There's some precepting fatigue, right? There's a little bit of burnout that comes with that. So somebody who's listening right now who's feeling that fatigue, what would you say to them?
Understand that the people you're precepting right now are the people you're going to be working with for the next X amount of years.
Sure.
And they may be the people that take care of you when you need medical attention.
Yep.
When you become the patient, who do you want taking care of you?
There you go. And you think about, it might have been the fifth time I've said it this year because you're the first person I've precepted, but it's the first time they're hearing it.
Correct.
And what does that mean to them?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a good way to look at it.
There you go. I was rounding in some of my perioperative areas earlier this week, and you know, I'm from PACU and OR, and I went into the PACU, and my preceptor was sitting at the desk. She loves telling everybody, you know, I precepted Carol. But there's something to be said for that. We end up sort of developing these healthcare family trees of where did you come from and who was your preceptor and what's the journey you traveled.
And honestly, in Northern Ohio, nursing is a small field.
I mean, a small world.
Yep. I've been a nurse for 22 years. Mm-hmm. You said right around 20 for yourself. Mm-hmm. You run into the same people a lot. Yeah.
You want to make sure that they've been set on a good path when they came your way.
Yeah, what do they say about that? You'd be good to people on your way up the ladder because you'll see them on the way back down.
That's right. And it's no longer 6 degrees at Kevin Bacon. I heard it's 3. So yeah, it's a smaller and smaller world. And yeah, what can we do to take care of each other? Absolutely. So let's go back to, you know, at the top of the episode, I was talking about, is nursing a calling or a career? So talk to me a little bit more about that. What has it been like for you?
Oh, absolutely a calling.
Okay.
Absolutely. It was not on my radar. It's something I never would have considered it in a million years.
Yeah.
I was exposed to it accidentally.
Sure.
and organically. And it was instantaneous. It was a thunderclap that made me change my mind.
All right.
I went home and I told my wife, I'm going to finish this out, but I know what I want to do. I'll finish this course for EMT, but I want to be a nurse. Okay.
And what keeps you coming back for more?
I love it. I have been the patient.
Okay.
My wife has been a patient. Mm. You know, she broke her back. I had a stroke.
Oh my gosh.
I know. It's just.
Wow.
Scary.
Terribly scary.
Anybody at any time could become the patient.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've experienced it on that end.
Mm-hmm.
And I love being able to be there and be that person that can change somebody's day.
Absolutely.
So.
And, you know, for our listeners, you know, I thankfully not had anything terribly dreadful to happen to me, but I have been the patient. I've been the surgical patient. I've been the surgical patient in places that I was the boss. And there's something that happens to you when you're on the other side of the care.
You see it differently.
Mm-hmm.
And you really, your expectations are sometimes, I don't think my expectations are too high, but they are high.
Sure.
Because I know what I would do in that situation.
And having, you know, it's not a prerequisite to our listeners. You don't have to have had something happen to you to be a great nurse. So please don't take me wrong. But I think that's absolutely right, is that simulations are important and training is important. But there's something you said for now I'm the one who's anxious. I don't know what's going on. Or I know enough to be dangerous. Or I know a lot. And that's actually making me more scared than if I didn't know anything.
Right. And I know, you know, as nurses, we talk about people and try to, you know, with HIPAA, we try to dissociate. We're like, oh, the appy in room 6, you know, but, you know, we're
so
not,
much more than that.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean,
they're people with names, you know, and sometimes we have to think about that.
Absolutely.
We can't forget that it's a person that has an appy, you know, that needs an appendectomy or has an appendicitis. That's not their problem. That doesn't define who they
are. That's why they're here. Yeah.
Yes.
And I think it's, you know, so whether it's the ER, your days from the ER and the interprofessional team of those doctors and nurses and personnel versus in an ambulatory setting, there's lots of people coming with great perspectives. Some of them may be really focused on the problem at hand, right? I need to take the x-ray of the thing. I need to draw the labs. I need to do this. But it's that nurse that says, and how does this help support the entire person?
What's the big picture?
What's the big picture? Well, wow. Beautifully said. So with that, thank you. We're going to transition into the speed round. So for our speed round is a chance for our listeners to get to know a little bit more about you in addition to the fabulous nurse you are.
Okay.
So, yeah. So why don't you share with us, please, something you wish you knew as a brand new nurse?
I wish I knew ambulatory care existed.
Okay.
Of course, I would have wanted to get experience in the hospital.
Sure, of course.
But boy, the ambulatory care setting is really good for family life.
There you go. But still clearly very challenging. You know, I think sometimes people get this impression of, right, the other side, it's so relaxing and they get to work Monday through Friday.
No.
And there's this perception that it's easy. What would you say to that?
It's not a walk in the park.
No.
It's different.
Yes.
The schedule is different too.
Sure. So. Sure. Yep. Excellent.
I get to make it to my son's soccer games now.
I mean, that is truly the beauty of nursing. I had an opportunity to go to a reception last night of seniors who were getting ready to graduate from nursing school in May. About half of them had jobs, half of them didn't. There's never been a better time to be a nurse, right? I mean, it's a great calling and career. But, you know, hearing their fears of, well, I have a job and what if it's not the right one? Or I haven't settled on a place yet because I'm worried it's not the right one. And it's like, it's what a great time to say to them, there are other things you can do. And please, you know, dig in and live that first job, but know that there's other opportunities for you if that's not the right fit.
Absolutely. There's, you know, 8,000 different specialties that nurses can do.
Yeah.
You know, they have nurses on movie sets. They have nurses on cruise ships.
Sometimes they need more nurses on movie sets based on what comes out.
But nurses on cruise ships, nurses at amusement parks, nurses in schools. I mean, there's a 1,000 settings a nurse could be in. And what I would say towards that, you know, hey, I'm not sure this is the right fit. It might not be. Or it might be the right fit today and 5 years from now.
Absolutely.
It's not the right fit.
That's right.
So dig in, give it 110%, learn as much as you can, take care of some patients until you find something better or something next.
Go where your road takes you.
Right.
All right. And then my final question for you, what brings you joy?
Professionally?
Okay.
I get a lot of joy when I see the patients become successful.
Mm.
So, you know, if I can care for somebody and, you know, it may not be curing them because, you know, not everything can be cured, but maybe it's helping someone come to grasp with what they're going through, you know, and understand it and not feel defeated by it. When I was in the ER, you know, unfortunately, everybody dies eventually.
Eventually, yes.
And you know, we had people that would come in with their family members. The family members themselves were having a harder time with the patient dying than the patient did at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes you just have to be there for them too.
Okay.
Personally,
mm-hmm.
I like it when my friends and family are successful.
Sure.
You know, I want more for my boys than for myself. And I like to try to set them up for that.
There you go. Fantastic words. Thank you for coming and sharing your journey with us today, TC.
Thank you so much, Carol. Happy to be here.
As always, thanks so much for joining us for today's discussion. Don't miss out. Subscribe to hear new episodes wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, we want to hear from you. Do you have ideas for future podcasts or want to share your stories? Email us at nurseessentials@ccf.org. To learn more about nursing at Cleveland Clinic, please check us out at clevelandclinic.org/nursing. Until next time, take care of yourselves and take care of each other. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only and does not constitute medical or legal advice. Consult your local state boards of nursing for any specific practice questions.